Welcome to the Covenant Journey Podcast. We hope to inform, inspire, and encourage you to deepen your faith, knowledge, and love of our Lord Jesus as we explore the timeless treasures of the Bible. Join us now as we explore God's Word.
On today's Covenant Journey Bible Podcast, we're going to be talking about the mark of a true leader and a follower of Jesus Christ. I'm Matt Staver, founder and chairman of Covenant Journey. We're going to begin our study in the book of Exodus, chapter 14. I've been going through the book of Exodus, and it is fascinating, but I want to focus right now on chapter 14. If you have time, I encourage you to read the book of Exodus and the whole story from the very beginning of Exodus chapter 1, up through and even past the actual Exodus from Egypt. Because what you have is a series of incidents where Moses is called by God. He is inadequate, he thinks, for the task. You remember, he has some kind of speaking problem where he's not that articulate. Whether he stuttered, we don't know. But he did not feel that he was a very good speaker. And so, of course, as you remember, God said, I am going to have your brother Aaron do the speaking. You and Aaron will be a tag team. You'll be the leader, and Aaron will speak for you, so I am going to supplement your human weaknesses. And you remember certain situations where Pharaoh was approached by Moses and Aaron, and those two, it took a lot of courage to even do this, go to the most powerful leader in the then known world that ruled all of the area around and had your very life in their hands to give a thumbs up or a thumbs down, if you will, and demand that Pharaoh let the people of God go so that they could go 3 days into the wilderness, 3 days' journey, not just some, but everybody, including the animals. Take the entire group and go 3 days so that they could actually serve the Lord, apart from where the Egyptians were located. And you remember how Pharaoh came back and ultimately imposed greater restrictions on them, told them that they still needed to meet the same quota of bricks every day, but now you're going to have to also supply your own straw. These people were already laboring under the laborious task of these taskmasters, just to maintain the daily quota. Now they have to maintain the daily quota and go out and find and cut and bring their own straw to make the same number of bricks every day. And those bricks were counted every day. Are they on track with the quota? And if they're not, then the leaders that were put in place, the fellow Jews, over the people that they were supervising would be beaten by the Egyptians. You can imagine that they would have some very harsh words for Moses and Aaron. Moses and Aaron, we were doing badly, but now we're doing horribly worse since you have come here and you've given your 2 cents to Pharaoh. Look what he's done to us. Do you want to kill us? Well, you see the pattern through all of these plagues that come about. And finally, we're now at the time where Pharaoh lets the people go. And here we are. They're now leaving. The entire group of people, old, young, strong men, weak people, all of the animals, all of their possessions, including some additional possessions that the Egyptians gave to them because they were in fear and awe of them after that last plague when they celebrated the Passover and the firstborn of all the people and the animals that were not in the Hebrew homes with the blood of the lamb painted on the doorpost, ultimately died. They're now on their way out of Egypt. Egypt is now in their rearview mirror, if you will. But they're not out of the clear. And this is where Exodus chapter 14 comes in. Verse 10, when Pharaoh drew near, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes. So now he's in pursuit. And behold, the Egyptians were marching after them, and they were afraid. The children of Israel cried out to, and the Bibles will say, the Lord. It's actually Yahweh. Then they said to Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, have you taken us away to die in the wilderness? Why have you treated us this way to bring us out of Egypt? Verse 12, isn't this the word that we spoke to you in Egypt, saying, leave us alone that we may serve the Egyptians? For it were better for us to serve the Egyptians than we should die in the wilderness. Moses said to the people, don't be afraid, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, or Yahweh, which he will work for you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you will never see them again. Yahweh, or the Lord, will fight for you, and you shall be still. Now, this is Moses and Aaron. Lots of people. The people are getting unruly because now they're out in the wilderness, and the chariots and the army of Pharaoh, you can see them coming in the distance, and they're not happy. And they're saying to them, here you go again. We told you before, leave us alone. You're just a meddler. Every time you do something, it gets worse for us. We could have survived back there in Egypt, but you've brought us out here to kill us. I mean, imagine yourself in that position. As a leader, as a follower of the Lord, it's easy to get involved in groupthink. We see that happening all over the country, groupthink, where the media or our group of people that we associate with, they start thinking one way. And everybody then just jumps on the bandwagon, even if that direction is wrong. Even if it lacks faith, these people lacked faith. They were wrong. But Moses has to hear this. Moses has to go to sleep and have these things going through his mind over and over and over again. People being angry with him, very upset with him that he's bringing them out here. He no doubt may even come to the point where he's, sometimes the natural thing would be to question what your decision was. Was it the right one? But Moses pressed into the Lord. He was unsure about himself multiple times through this process. And the Lord ultimately gave him assurances, and this was one of those assurances, where verse 15, Yahweh, or the Lord, says, why do you cry to me? Speak to the children of Israel, that they go forward. Verse 16, lift up your rod and stretch out your hand over the sea and divide it, and the children of Israel shall go into the midst of the sea on dry ground. Behold, verse 17, I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians, and they shall go in after them. I will get myself honor over Pharaoh and over all the armies, and over the chariots and over his horsemen. The Egyptians shall know that I am Yahweh, I am the Lord, when I have gotten myself honor over Pharaoh, over his chariots, and over his horsemen. Then the angel of the Lord who went before the camp of Israel moved and went behind them, and the pillar of cloud moved from before them and stood behind them. It came between the camp of Egypt and the camp of Israel, and there was a cloud in the darkness, yet gave it light by night, and the one didn't come near the other all the night. So they had to spend this whole night wondering what was going to happen. Would they still live to see the light of the next morning? No doubt it was a difficult time for Moses and Aaron. No doubt it was a difficult time for everybody. But this is the mark of a true leader. This is not only a mark of a leader, it's the mark of a follower of God. That despite the fact that the circumstances appear to be impossible, and despite the fact that many people are complaining and they're giving wrong information and they're operating out of fear, you continue to trust in the Lord and you move forward. Now, this was an impossible situation. They didn't have weapons. They couldn't defend themselves. They had women and children and young people and old people and sick people. They had the whole variety of people that would be in a group like this. They didn't have the provisions or the wherewithal. They're out in the middle of nowhere. In fact, they can't go to the right or to the left because there's different other enemies that they're going to run into. They have to go straight. They can't go backwards because Pharaoh's behind them. If they go to the right or to the left, there's other tribes, there's groups of people that ultimately will come against them. So they have to go straight. What's in front of them is the Red Sea. There's no way they're going to cross it because there's no bridge there. So they are literally trapped. God put them in a place where there was no escape. There was no way out. And they've angered the Egyptians. And obviously the Egyptians and the Pharaoh was thinking, look, if I let these Israelites go like this, all the other people that I have in bondage, that taskmasters are overseeing the construction of the various cities and regions, they're all going to say, well, Pharaoh's weak. Pharaoh's weak, and the Jews were able to leave. Let's do the same thing. And so once he made the decision to let them go, there's no question that he's thinking, this was a bad decision. There's no question that his advisors were saying, you know, Pharaoh, that wasn't the best decision because this is what's going to happen. It's going to cause revolt. You're going to lose all of the workers that you have enslaved to build these monuments that you want to build. So you've got to go back and you've got to show power. And that power is not just to recapture these people. It's to literally wipe them out and give a lesson that if anyone else, any other group of people want to do what these people did, this is the result. And so that's what Pharaoh was going to do. And they knew it. And there was no way out. No way out. But Moses and Aaron continued to rely upon God. I know that there were others that did the same thing, but there was a lot of people, because of the pressure, because of the fear of their lives, because of talking in groups where they would get their fears seconded by the other people, confirmed by the other people, the distrust, the backbiting, the bad stories, the bad leadership that they would talk about with regards to Moses and Aaron, all of that would just fuel this kind of debate. Moses, Aaron, the other faithful people, they continued to press forth. Verse 21, Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and Yahweh caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all the night, and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. The children of Israel went into the midst of the sea on dry ground, and the waters were a wall to them on the right hand and on their left. The Egyptians pursued and went in after them into the midst of the sea, all the Pharaoh's horses, his chariots, and his horsemen. It happened in the morning watch that Yahweh, or the Lord, looked out on the Egyptian army through the pillar of fire and of a cloud and confused the Egyptian army. He took off their chariot wheels. In other words, they began to fall off as they're crossing through this dry ground. And they drove them heavily so that the Egyptians said, "Let's flee from the face of Israel, for Yahweh fights for them against the Egyptians." Yahweh said to Moses, "Stretch out your hand over the sea, that the waters may come again on the Egyptians and their chariots and on their horsemen." Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the sea returned its strength. With the morning, it appeared, and the Egyptians fled against it. Yahweh overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea. The waters returned and covered the chariots and the horsemen, even all Pharaoh's army that went in after them into the sea. There remained not so much as one of them. Moses said earlier, don't fear. Stand still. See the salvation, the deliverance of God. The Egyptians that you see today, you will never see again. Yahweh will fight for you. You just stand still. Be still. What a great message. It's easy to read through this passage. It's easy to go on and move on to chapter 15, but I encourage you to spend some time there. Think about the current situations that you face in your life, in our nation, in our world. How do you get to the place where you have Moses and Aaron, and they're still pressing forward, and many others, we don't know who they were, but we know that there was others. And then how do you get to the place where you're a follower, but you're fearful? And I think here through the story of Exodus, God gives you certain tests along the way. Little test, then bigger test. And the way to be able to get to the point where you can say, stand still, you will see the salvation of the Lord, notwithstanding the fact that there's no human way out, is by reading the Word of God on a regular daily basis. Dive into the Word of God. Make it part of your daily habit. Listen to it, read it, and study it, and pray to the Lord. That's the way to ultimately press in and surround yourselves by individuals who can pray for you, who can be your spiritual mentors, and who can hold you accountable. That's the mark of true followers of Christ, that despite all odds, you continue to have faith and stand still because the salvation of the Lord is there, and it will come for you. For more information, visit covenantjourney.org.
You've been listening to the Covenant Journey podcast. We hope that we have informed, inspired, and encouraged you to deepen your faith, knowledge, and love for our Lord Jesus as we've explored the Word of God. Visit covenantjourney.org, where you can obtain additional notes and information to enhance your study of the Scriptures. The website again is covenantjourney.org. You can also email us at cj@covenantjourney.org. Share this podcast with your friends. Visit covenantjourney.org.